The title for this service comes from a sermon some years ago by Reverend Mark Morrison Reed, a Unitarian Universalist minister. Where there is no vision, people will perish. And the title comes from the first part of Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, this talk was delivered to Neighborhood UU Congregation in Toronto. And consider how that congregation had thrived compared to other congregations in the city that had dissolved. As he put it, what happened to these congregations? And he went on to say, they were interested in surviving, but not changing. Now, he went on to say, the need to envision and dream is essential to our well-being, and even more to our becoming. You need a vision if you are to thrive. Without a vision, you will fall into a clubbish inwardness that newcomers will find it difficult to become part of. You will develop set ways of doing things and be religious in ways that are not responsive to the needs of the next generation. The purpose of the church is not to make us comfortable, it is to transform lives and shape society so that it better reflects our principles. To be such a community requires leadership, your leadership, leadership that thinks broadly and looks out for the well-being of the community, leadership that is driven by vision. It is leadership that has an outward orientation. Leadership that asks, who is not here? In what ways can we be involved in our community? How do we touch more lives? How do we energize this religious community so that it becomes a magnet to others? Leadership that is not invested in keeping things the way they are and is not afraid of change. Now, I opened with Reverend Mark Morrison's words because I would like us to think about them in the context of Lakehead Unitarian Fellowship. We're nearing the end of our 60th anniversary year, a time to reflect on our history and a time to look forward to the next 60 years. Now, over the past decade, there's been some talk at different times about the lifespan of congregations. And I want to suggest that we can avoid the decline caused by clubbish inwardness and continue to thrive through attention to our vision and mission. And we subscribe to Touchstones, a service that provides material based on monthly worship themes. In fact, I'll be offering monthly services, once a month service, starting in January, based on the Touchstone themes. And the theme for this month is mission and vision. Now, the introduction that we got to the theme offered the following. Mission seeks to answer these questions. Why do we exist? What is our purpose? Whom do we serve? And vision, though related, focuses on these questions. What is the picture of the future that we want to create? What or who do we want to become? Together, they articulate a purpose and goal for an organization. A vision is related to mission, but different. Mission is the means, and vision is the end. Now, the questions offered above remind me that these are not new concerns. As a young man, I was inspired by questions posed by Harry Hay, who was an early gay activist. And he asked, who are we? Where do we come from? What are we for? And more recently, in her Massey Lectures book, All Our Relations, Tanya Talaga posed similar questions. Where do I come from? Where am I going? What is my purpose? Who am I? And just last week, I took a look at a book that I got from Sally Palmer Woods, Philip Simon's guidebook for the 21st century, Surviving Civilization's Collapse with Hope, Love, and a Little Humor. And he begins the book with those same questions, which were attributed to Paul Gauguin back in the 19th century. Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? Now, these are enduring questions that can help us take a look at mission and vision. And now the following conversation is taken from Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland. "Cheshire Puss," Alice began, "would you tell me, please, which way I ought to go from here?" "Well, that depends a good deal on where you want to get to," said the cat. "I don't much care where," said Alice. "Then it doesn't matter which way you go," said the cat. In terms of our congregations, we must take seriously the Cheshire Cat's "Where do you want to get to?" question. It is a question about mission and vision. From Touchstones again, a vision statement focuses on tomorrow and what an organization wants to ultimately become. A mission statement focuses on today and what an organization does to achieve it. And both are vital in directing goals. Now, some 11 years ago, I wrote a short piece, and I said, "I have a personal vision about Lakehead Unitarian Fellowship. I have a vision of a community of diverse people gathered together in a spirit of love and compassion. We explore our spiritual paths in different ways and try to honor those differences. We not only accept their diversity, we celebrate it. Our seventh principle refers to the interconnected web of existence, and this is at the heart of my vision of LUF. We are all part of each other, caring and sharing with each other as we want others to care and share with us. I have a vision of an open-ended process of spiritual exploration and growth. I have a vision of engagement with a larger community, promoting social justice and sustainability." Well, this may have been a combination of mission and vision. Now, several years ago, the Canadian Unitarian Council adopted our current vision statement. "As Canadian Unitarian Universalists, we envision a world in which our interdependence calls us to love and justice. Seven principles guide our choices. Six sources nourish our spirits. Five aspirations help us grow. As Canadian Unitarian Universalists, we aspire to be deeply connected, radically inclusive, actively engaged, theologically alive, and spiritually grounded." And 2 years ago, we took most of the church year to workshop and develop our current mission statement. "Together in liberal religious community, we grow in spirit, nurture inclusive relationships, and act for a just and sustainable world." Now, these vision statements and our LUF mission statement say to me that here at LUF, we will avoid perishing, as we do have a vision of the future and a mission to pursue that future. Now, hopefully, we can agree with Maya Angelou: "My mission in life is not merely to survive, but to thrive, and to do so with some passion, some compassion, some humor, and some style. So I've been talking so far this morning about mission and vision in relation to us as a congregation. And LUF is the combined vision of all of us as members and friends. And for each of us individually, the question is vision of vision is something to which we may or may not pay much attention. I want to share now a perspective on vision that has been significant for me and to offer it for your consideration. In the mid-1970s, I encountered a small book titled The Vision and Other Essays. Now, this was an early exposure to the teaching that has had a major impact on my life. It was transcribed from teachings by Ananda Bodhi, who was born Leslie George Dawson here in Canada, first ordained in the Theravadan tradition as Ananda Bodhi, and then ordained in the Kagyu school of Tibetan Buddhism as Namgyal Rinpoche. So the rest of this service comes pretty much from the essay itself. And the vision begins with the following statement. God needs us. In fact, he needs us more than we need him. How is this? We usually think about God in terms of our need of him. What in God's name does he need us for? Well, this was enough to give me pause right there. God talk was not something I was comfortable with at that time. And in fact, it has taken time for me to interpret some of the language here and to appreciate it. And you will notice that he uses man and the masculine pronoun as an inclusive term, something that was much more common back in 1971. So I just ask you to keep that in mind as we proceed. He goes on in the essay. Man is the summation of thousands of years of different forms of life on this planet. Man is an abstraction from this continuum of ongoing existence, this continuum of evolution. Now we can view this continuum as varying degrees of consciousness. Man, as the highest form of consciousness on Earth, has all the previous states of consciousness within him. Each form of life wants to live. Man knows that he wants to live, but most of mankind is not conscious of his deep longing to reach the light. He gropes in his darkness, lacking the one thing that would awaken his consciousness to its purpose, a vision. And it is this vision that will help us complete the path to union with God from whence we sprung. So God needs us to complete his purpose of union with him so that we should know his mysteries. Now, how are we to fulfill this purpose? We must gain the awareness that there is a sphere of consciousness surrounding us that provides a climate for our being to unfold. But the main point here is that at this point of period of history, we must collectively make a leap out of the darkness into the light, a quantum leap. The world is shrinking. We can respond positively to this or not by opening up our being and reaching to others, or by withdrawing into our defenses. Those who do not really want anyone to reach their core and be penetrated and communicated with are committing psychological suicide. We have powers that still lie dormant within us, but we must throw off the conceptual hypnosis that keeps us isolated from each other in terms of religion, class, race, ideas, and chosen peopleism. And that keeps us as individuals from exploring ourselves and our outer world. It will no longer be viable to stay locked within oneself. We must join one with the other to make exploration of that which lies within and without us. Only in this way will question be awakened and in turn awaken us. And only in this way can we live life the way it must be lived, with passion, commitment, and intensity. So we come now to the real heart of the essay. What is the aim of my vision? Very simply, it is to unfold, to awaken to, and to fulfill the true purpose of our life on Earth as part of the human experiment. As you may see, the aim just stated was described by verbs, and verbs imply action. What kind of action? Again, very simply, exploratory action. Action which awakens question and increases what could be called the bundle of doubt. Thus, we must make haste to doubt, not in a pessimistic sense, but in the sense of the raising of questions, of both the inner and outer planes of our existence. For unless we make the within as the without, we will not see the kingdom of heaven. But while we're in the process of doubting, another ingredient must be present, namely faith. And there is no real dichotomy between doubt and faith. In fact, as the doubt increases, so does the faith. And how is this? First, we must be careful to distinguish between faith based on blind dogma and ritualized formulas, and faith based on question, on seeking to know. In other words, we must become aware that we were created to doubt, to explore, to extend our consciousness. And this is precisely what we have faith in. Faith in the universal flow or process. Second, we must come to realize that even though we raise questions about the life flow, it still keeps flowing. In other words, this flow exists as an objective fact of the universe. Although we may each have our perception of the flow, it is merely a perception of and is not the flow itself. Our task is to come into harmony with this flow so that we are the flow. And the essay now goes on to talk about something that should be familiar to us as you use with our sources that Reverend Suzanne explored last week. In order to explore, we need a vehicle. And the vision sees religion, science, and art as vehicles. That is, as different ways to explore the same thing. These disciplines are not ends in themselves, but avenues running alongside one another. Although our curiosity may be aroused by one avenue of exploration, we must maintain a non-selective curiosity, not clinging to any one part, but seeking to embrace the whole. We must be in a state of choiceless awareness, non-exclusive, so that we may be all-inclusive. The vision sees man as being open to all possibilities, to the vast amount of knowledge, and yet cling to none. We must not even cling to a vision. That would be to misunderstand its nature. Intensity, passion, and commitment do not mean clinging. If we push any discipline to its limits, we come to all the others. In other words, the vision sees these disciplines as having a common form, namely wonder, curiosity, the awakening of question about our inner and outer universes, and faith in that the seeking we shall find. Thus, the vision sees the transcending of the dualistic thought that perceives science, art, and religion as separate and distinct. The vision means seeing, clear-sightedness. It is a clear seeing into the mysteries of the universe that we seek, that we must seek. The premise upon which the vision rests is seek and ye shall find. Seek to extend the evolutionary process of consciousness through the dropping of the categories and labels that imprison our being. We must accept what we are, both in our wholesome and unwholesome aspects, and move on. The vision is grounded not just in the mind, but in the heart. It contains the kind of being we desire to be, the kinds of interaction we want. Love springs from the heart. Herein lies the beauty of a vision. Our hearts are often made into the battleground for the split between the mind and the emotions and the feelings. But it is a heart unclouded by neuroses that will give us the feel of the texture of the task. Our mind or intellect will give us the skill and means, and together they will produce openness, clear seeing, and willpower. So, you know, that was a fair bit, but it is just an excerpt from the essay. Now, this presentation of the vision will possibly stir up some resistance, as it did for me at times. However, there's much in there that has motivated me in pursuing my own spiritual path. And the elements that spoke to me helped develop my own vision. So I ask the question, what is your vision? Do you have one? I return to the questions raised by Philip Simons and others. Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? And I'll close with these words from systems scientist Peter Senge. Vision is ongoing and never ending. Blessed be and amen.